going on, baby? Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube channel. Smash that subscribe button right down there. The like button right down there as well. Great big show planned for you guys today because we have a great big game in the NBA, kind of, maybe. If you're betting on it, at least, that's where the interest is from a betting perspective. NBA playoffs, a little cursed here. We're going to get into that momentarily, but we have a handful of picks for that game. And, of course, Major League Baseball, we're going to kick around some topics in the NBA. Off the top, I hope your week's off to a great start. My week is off to a fantastic start. I just got done interviewing George St. Pierre for a bit of a partnership there. We have a bet. 99 at UFC pay-per-view, UFC 302 going down this weekend. So stay tuned for that content later on in the week. He had some very interesting things to say. Okay, so from George St. Pierre to John Mettler, let's bring our guy in. Johnny, how you feeling here on this Monday morning?
I can safely say I never thought my name would be mentioned in the same sentence as George St. Pierre. I feel like we should take that back. That's insane to put it in the same sentence.
There we go. Yeah. One of the, no exaggeration. I've interviewed him. That was the third time I interviewed him this morning. I did one time in person, one time over Zoom. Today was over Zoom as well. Absolute career highlight for me. Every single time I talk to the guy, massive fan. So super cool opportunity that I do get here at Covers. So Mettler, I don't know, not a whole lot of enthusiasm towards this game here tonight. A lot of the juice has been sucked out of the NBA playoffs. And it's no one's fault, really. You can't really point a finger at the NBA and say, hey, the NBA has to do better here. But these playoffs are cursed completely. Not a whole lot of excitement here. Well, some excitement with the Knicks and the T-Wolves there last round, I guess. But we've seen five series end in five games or less. We've seen a lot of blowouts in these playoffs. And you can make an all-star team out of the players who've missed all or some games here in the playoffs so far. Of course, Giannis and Damian Lillard, Kawhi, Zion, Donovan Mitchell, and Halliburton missing time now. OG for the Knicks. Embiid was all beat to shit. And then another nightmare here for the NBA. We could potentially have two sweeps here in the conference finals. The NBA finals do not start until a week from Thursday. So we're looking at potentially more than a week layoff here for the NBA. Now, that's something they might want to revisit, having a hard start date. Producer Mick, very unhappy with that in our pre-show meeting, by the way. But what I will say, so cursed a little bit here in these playoffs. I think John Mettler, did he disappear, Mick? Oh, there he is. I thought your power went out again like a week ago there. But what I will say, so the playoffs cursed a little bit here so far, but we do have the potential for an amazing storyline here in the NBA Finals that looks like it's going to happen. And what I'm talking about is the enemy is returning, Kyrie going to Boston. But the unique and ironic thing is most people will be cheering for Kyrie out of this. This guy, I talked about it, he's done a complete 180, kind of, I don't know if you say reinventing himself a little bit here, but this is why we give people second chances, right? And Kyrie proving himself, becoming a bit of a fan favorite. But what do you think, John? Are these playoffs cursed or what?
Yeah, there's been so many injuries. It is, you do kind of wonder, like, you know, they put in all the load management stuff and then for the regular season. And then we just saw a lot of people kind of, they all followed the rules essentially. And now we've lost so many superstars throughout the playoffs here. You kind of wonder how teams will approach it next year. Like, I know even Tyrese Halliburton, he was talking about during the regular season, because he had the hamstring injury that he has right now. And he was talking about that he wouldn't have come back as early as he did. And then they did kind of that thing where they're manipulating his minutes because he wanted to make All-NBA and he thought he had a chance to make All-NBA. And the only way you can get a Supermax contract is by making All-NBA. So he kind of like rushed his way back because he had to play those 65 games. Now we're kind of in the Eastern Conference Finals and his hamstring's a problem again. So like, I do kind of wonder if they'll revisit like the load management thing. In terms of Kyrie, I don't know if it's so much people want to root for Kyrie. I think it's more people are just love that the Celtics still haven't won an NBA Finals with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think the social side, like Mavericks Celtics is going to be Theater on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. It's gonna be hilarious.
Yeah,
I'll probably be retweeting a bunch of stuff. It's just a good matchup from like a storyline too. Like you have the Doncic Porzingis thing too, right? They were teammates, so there's more than just even Kyrie there. So I think that's gonna be a fun series. I'm excited for that series.
Yeah, it's a drama of the absolute highest order. Now the Celtics just getting break after break. And you know, I kind of poked fun at them on Saturday night saying the Celtics are basically playing the equivalent of the Washington Wizards every round. And a couple people came at me and said, hey, Joe, it's not their fault who they're playing. And that is absolutely true. But what I will say is I do think that the fact that they're not getting battle tested and we're seeing these situations where they're kind of playing with their food a little bit is I think this is going to hurt them, man. It reminds me of Gonzaga in college basketball every year. Yeah. They just rip through the regular season. They beat the shit out of inferior competition all regular season. Then they get to the tournament and they absolutely flop. And, you know, Celtics, you know, some people call them soft. I don't know if that's really fair or not, but Luka's an absolute killer. I don't think you could really say that about Jason Tatum. So we're in agreement that the soft kind of schedule, soft path to the finals, not exactly helping the Celtics, is it?
No. And I put that out on Twitter last night. I think we talked about this months ago. I don't know if we talked about it on air. I remember talking about it with Mick and you in a meeting in some capacity where when the Celtics were like plus 220 kind of in the middle of the regular season there to be the favorites to win the NBA finals. It always bothered me. Like I always 1 through 5, I thought they had easily the best roster, but it always bothered me that like, if you get to a series against a team from the West and like pick a team from the West, I think we use the Mavericks as an example. It's like, it's a superstar league. And are the two best players in that series? They're on the Mavericks. Are they not? Like I mean, Luka Doncic to me is the best. That's not debatable. We can debate Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum versus Kyrie Irving kind of thing. I personally would go Kyrie Irving, especially with the way they're both, all three of them are currently playing. I mean, it's obviously close, but just in a thing, you know, when you're coming in as a massive favorite in a league that favors superstars, it's scary. It's just, I find it very ironic that the Celtics are such a big favorite in that kind of scenario. I actually jumped ahead. I grabbed the look ahead line. I got Mavericks plus 230 to beat the Celtics in the NBA Finals. Oh, so
that's an incredible number. Now, everybody, I said this on, I think, Friday show, everybody outside of Boston and Celtics fans will be cheering for Kyrie and the Mavericks in that series. If you disagree, hit up the live chat. Let me know why you would take the Celtics over the Mavs. But one last thing here, John, before we get into the picks. People are turning on Anthony Edwards. One week he's Michael Jordan, the next week he's Harold Miner. And it's kind of funny how we do this in sports, right? We build people up to tear them down. You're seeing shades of that a little bit, even in the NFL, the Golden Boys. Some people starting to turn on Patrick Mahomes and poke fun at him a little bit. But it is unfair. It's unfair that they build Anthony Edwards up the Michael Jordan comparisons. Like, give me a break here, guys. And now he doesn't live up to these expectations and people start to turn on the guy. It's complete bullshit how that works out. Now he's not playing well. They're down 0-3. So maybe a lesson for sports fans and sports bettors, like, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here, guys. Let's let the story finish out. Let's see if he can, you know, actually go on to win a championship or, you know, pull through here. But what do you think of people turning on Edwards here?
Yeah, it was kind of not funny, but like same thing. You saw the Michael Jordan comparisons on Twitter. And then after game two, I saw people calling him Dion Waiters, which was just like so drastically the other way. To me, he's 22. He's still, I think, you know, it's one thing to score 30 points against the league teams in the league who are ranked 16 to 30 or even 10 to 30. Like you're in the final four here. So like defensively, you're seeing coverages, adjustments, and everything's on you. And like, even when you go through a regular season, you know, you kind of catch a team on a back-to-back or two games, whatever, in a certain amount of days. Like, obviously they have a scouting report on you, but like, this is way different. Like you're playing, everything is focused on you. They're watching film. It's all about you, everything. And they have really good defenders on the team. It just gets even more difficult. The big thing for me with Anthony Edwards, I would say is I don't think he, like to a degree, I feel like he thinks the defense is more capable of stopping him than they actually are. And I'm just always surprised sometimes he gets going downhill or he makes a pass or he doesn't try to like force his way to the rim. Like you just look at that play last night against Daniel Gafford where he put him on an absolute poster. Like this guy has incredible athleticism. Like who's stopping that? Like if he just went head down to the rim, I just feel like there's so many times where he could get buckets or free throws. But I think he just kind of gives the coverage a little more credit than I think they're happy every time he passes. It's more of like a show than like we can actually stop him. He's young. I mean, this Timberwolves, I hope they don't do anything crazy. I think they just need to run it back. It's kind of part of the experience. They're down 0-3, but these games have been all really close. And if Cat could just make like two more threes or one more three in every game, they'd be right there. So I think they're a better team than, you know, kind of what they've shown here. It's unfortunate they're on 3-0. I thought we were going to get a really good series here. So also my Wolves future is, it's over.
Yeah, the future is absolutely, the future is bright in Minnesota, no doubt about it. But that series, a complete and total disappointment. Okay, before we get into the picks, closing in on close to 900 live viewers across YouTube and X right now. Guys, hit up that live chat. Let us know what you were betting on tonight in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. A couple guys in there right now. Okay. So I kind of, part of me, you know, I just want to get this series done and over with. Other part of me, you know, I like having basketball to watch because, like I said, the NBA Finals doesn't start until a week from Thursday. But I do think this series is going to be done and over with tonight. And I think the Celtics win convincingly. I'm going to take them at -7. I got that number over at FanDuel. It's 7.5 at a lot of places. Obviously, you want to get the best of the number here. So, the Celtics, they were in the Pacers' position last season, you'll recall, against the Miami Heat. They went down 0-3, and they ended up bouncing back, getting some momentum, got that all the way to 7, and then they came up short, of course, in Game 7. But this is a team that understands the power of momentum, and this is something that I've heard them bring up a couple times since going up 3-0 in the series on Saturday night. So I do think that there's going to be some real urgency in this one. I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas like we saw in the second quarter of Game 3. They also haven't messed around or played with their food in closeout games here in these playoffs so far. They beat the Cavs by 15 in the deciding game in that series. They beat the living shit out of the Heat by 32 in the deciding game of that series. And it's the little things that are really adding up here for Boston. The free throw turnover battle making a massive difference. They're averaging 12 more free throw attempts per game. It's more than coincidence now. Almost 5 more turnovers per game for the Pacers. Celtics making 5.5 more threes per game. Pacers quite simply overmatched, especially if Haliburton is out of the lineup or playing compromised here tonight. So I think the Celtics will cash their ticket to the NBA Finals here tonight. John, you have 3 props. Let's get us started with TJ McConnell.
Yeah, I'm going TJ McConnell under 14.5 points. I bet at -115 this morning. Just for McConnell, like, he scored 23 points last game. Kind of makes it scary when you look at this 14.5 points. They haven't ruled out Tyrese Haliburton yet. I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not playing. I'd be shocked if he is playing. I don't think he's playing at all. But the thing is, this on Game 3, McConnell, they kind of had it like half price and they had to bump it up once he was officially ruled out. This one, the 14.5, he's being priced as if Haliburton's not playing. So really you only stand to gain from going under 14.5 points if you do get lucky and Haliburton, I guess, does decide to play. I don't think it's happening. I don't think he's playing. But also just for like McConnell, he's kind of someone, you know, like he is extremely efficient and he stuffs the box score in his 20 minutes of play. But when you expand his minutes to above 20, that like, his production per minute just doesn't keep following that path. His efficiency kind of drops off. That's why he only plays the amount of minutes he does. So you look at Game 3, he plays 29 minutes. He has 23 points. He has a great game. But like how Game 3 played out, that was like the perfect scenario for him to get as literally as many minutes as Rick Carlisle wants to get him. It was a close game. They're winning. It was a close game in the fourth quarter. They end up losing it at that point, but he didn't have foul trouble, all those kinds of things. And now you go, like, I look at this 14.5, I bumped his like projection up to 30 minutes and he doesn't really ever play 30 minutes. You can go look at his box scores throughout the whole year. I think he went over 30 minutes once. And even at 30 minutes, I still have an edge at the under 14.5. So to me, that's like the best case scenario for him. And we still have an edge. I do think there's a chance he just doesn't even see those minutes tonight. You know, they're an 8-point underdog or 7-point underdog. You know, they're down 0-3. You're kind of, you don't have your best player. You kind of gave it your all in Game 3. McConnell, he also was like, he's someone who has to like work incredibly, incredibly hard. And like in Game 2, it was a blowout and Rick Carlisle didn't play him in the blowout. You think of him as like a bench player and he should see elevated minutes of blowout. That was not McConnell. He went to even deeper into his bench. So I do think there's kind of a chance that McConnell goes under his minutes, But the fact that we have an edge at the elevated 30 minutes, that's why I'm going under for sure here, under 14 and a half points.
Okay, next up, Al Horford. You have a little dinky bet for him. And you know I love these little dinky plays. Break this one down for us.
Yeah, it's Al Horford over 1.5 assists. Actually, honestly, all three of these bets, if you go look at box scores from the first three games, you're probably not going to place any of them. But that's kind of, you know, they're always adjusting off of what's happening. So when he's gone under in all three games, he only has one assist in all three games, which is obviously scary. But that total has moved from 2.5 to 1.5, increased juice on the 1.5. But when your total is already so low for an assist prop like this, and 2.5 to 1.5, it's only one assist, but that's a big probability move. And like you look at Horford, and it's not even that like he only has the one assist, but he has 13 potential assists. He's averaging 4.3 per game in this series. I mean, that's a great number for someone who's trading at 1.5 minus 145. He's really just been incredibly unlucky that they're not converting. And at some point that will flip. And I do think there's a chance. So like even at those numbers, I would be very comfortable playing this 1.5 minus 145. But you look at game three, he banged 7 threes. It was a huge problem for the Pacers defense. You just can't leave him open for that amount of shots. If there's some form of effort to like run him off the line or like close out to him or just be even aware of where he is as a shooter, that could result, you know, one better closeout. It's one more potential assist because he's going to swing it to another three-point shooter type thing, or he might, you know, feed someone on a cut. So if the Pacers make a little bit of an effort to like close out on those three-pointers for him, his potential assist could be on the rise. So I do think there's a chance for more potential assists, and really you're just kind of betting that water kind of finds its level with those potential assists converting. So 1.5, I'm going over 1.5 minus 145 for Horford.
Okay, let's wrap up the NBA segment, the NBA pick segment of the show. Sam Hauser, what do you like for him?
Yeah, another kind of random one. Sam Hauser over 3.5 points, minus 115. So game two on our release show here with Adam Scherher, we do on Thursdays and stuff, we were kind of kicking around the idea of Joe Mazzulla potentially going small against the Pacers because the Pacers were kind of showing Obi Toppin as the five in some lineups. And we were looking at Sam Hauser over 3.5 points. We didn't bet it, but we were kind of interested to see if his minutes would elevate. And they did. And he played 20 minutes. And that total was 3.5, but he actually went under. He only scored 2 points, which is like nightmare. There's no reason he should play 20 minutes, only score 2 points. I kind of thought there'd be a chance to come back and get this in game three after he went under. But their sportsbooks were all over it. They raised his total to 5.5 because of the elevated minutes. He went under again. He scored 0 points. He's only scored 2 points in this entire series. So this is obviously, again, another bet where you're looking at, you're like, no chance. He's shooting threes. He's just not making them. I mean, at some point, you're a shooter that you're just not going to miss every three-pointer for the rest of your career. I do think this is kind of one of those bets where we're like, okay, either way. If it's a close game, we only need 13 minutes to establish our edge on Hauser. He played that last game, and like last game's not a good game script for him at all with how it played out. If you're a bench player and it's really close, the Celtics were even losing for the majority of the game. He played 13 minutes in that game. So if it's close, we kind of feel like we can get the minutes we need to establish our edge. If it's a blowout, he should play more. If the Pacers are losing, they should push pace and kind of their defense will soften up too. It could become a really up and down game. That will help Hauser as well. I just think this is a prop where if it's close, you're fine. If it's a blowout, you're even better off. And I do think you kind of have to protect yourself with how you're evaluating this game, that the Pacers could just go 1-2-3 Cancun and it's over for them. So that's why I'm going Hauser over 3.5 points.
Cancun, baby. Can't wait to go back someday. Okay, 68 people in the live chat. I think the Celtics will close things out tonight. Sometimes I see these polls, though, and I just vote the opposite side that I think everyone that you're supposed to. I think that might be going on here a little. 68 for the Celtics to win outright. That's what the poll is, not to cover the spread here. So, some people messing with us. And Gravy Bets in the live chat saying, the reason you take a team is because of the number. All the multi-million dollar books already have these things factored in. This covers, right? I'll just log on to get some numbers. Some great insights from our guy, Gravy Betts there. Thanks for participating in the show. About to get into Major League Baseball here, guys. If you want to participate in the show, hit up the live chat. Let us know what you are on tonight, and we will read off a few of the picks, a few of the comments here by the time the show wraps up. Okay, let's get going here. Major League Baseball. Big game between the Guardians and Rockies tonight. A lot of people excited for this one. I'm sure late afternoon action for those of us on the East Coast going down in Colorado, out west there, right, John? Austin Gomber on the mound for the Rockies, and somebody is sleeping on this one. I tell you, I'm going to take over 1.5 walks for him. It's plus 150 over at Bet365. It was plus 130 at DraftKings, if you prefer to bet there. But whoever set this line could potentially be fired. I know it's a holiday down in the US of A today. So someone's slacking off, and we'll look to take full advantage. So why do I like this bet so much? Well, he's walked two or more in 7 of 10 starts this season, including in 4 of 5 at home. And how perfect is this? He's a left-handed pitcher. Cleveland has the highest walk percentage versus Major League Baseball versus left-handed pitching over the last month. So Gomber over 1.5 walks. Next up, Brewers, Cubs. I'm going to take Brewers starter Robert Gasser, young guy, rookie, under 2.5 earned runs, minus 130. Great matchup for him here. He's taking on the Cubs, who stink versus left-handed pitching, dead last in OPS over the last month. He's been pretty sharp here at home. Small sample size, but a sample size needs to start somewhere. Just one earned run allowed in 2 starts at home with a whip lower than 1. And this is a low hard contact pitcher versus a low hard contact offense. Cubs are 25th in hard contact percentage versus lefties over the last month. Now, among starters that have made at least 3 starts, he has the 3rd lowest hard contact percentage allowed. Robert Gasser, get used to the name. And then we're fading Blake Snell here tonight. Surprised to see 1.5 on his earned runs. I know it's minus 140, but still, someone might be sleeping on this one too. He's having a lot of trouble getting on track here. He's only made a handful of starts, but he's allowed 3 or more earned runs in all 4 of his starts. He has an 11.40 ERA and a whip over 2. Now, you might recall he got off to a late start this season. He got signed kind of late in spring training by the Giants. So he got a late start. Then he went on the DL. He came back from the DL last week. 4 earned runs allowed in just 3.1 innings of work. And this is not the team to bounce back against the Philadelphia Phillies. Really strong versus left-handed pitching. 7th in OPS versus lefties over the last month. And they do a lot of their work offensively early in the game. They lead Major League Baseball in runs scored in innings 1 through 5. So there you have it. It was a winning weekend for your boy there. Non-betting talk here, John. I often bring up the adventures I have with my son, and we talk about how we're playing basketball, and he's saying that he heard that LeBron James, the best basketball player, and Michael Jordan is the 2nd best basketball player of all time. We watched Space Jam 1 and 2. Now, I watched Space Jam as a kid growing up. I thought it was fantastic. On the rewatch many years later, I thought it was fantastic again. I finally got around to watching the 2nd Space Jam. I wasn't going to go see that by myself when it came out. And I got to say, that movie absolutely stunk, Space Jam 2. And he agreed, too, as a 7-year-old. I said, which one did you like better? And he said, I liked the first one a lot better. Did you see Space Jam 2? Do you have a review for us here?
I actually haven't seen Space Jam 2, and I feel like it was kind of like a little bit of a boycott because Space Jam 1 was such a big part of my childhood that I honestly think Space Jam 1 is a big reason why I'm a basketball fan to a degree. I would say I was like a kid when Space Jam 1 came out. I love that. I feel like that was probably one of those movies, if you're a parent, where right now you probably have your kid makes you watch a movie once a week or every day. That was Space Jam for me. So I feel like I just didn't go watch Space Jam 2 because I just want to keep Space Jam 1 as Space Jam 1. That was it for me. I'm good with that one.
Don't waste your time. I know I'm 3 years late on my Space Jam 2 review, but it was LeBron was this overbearing father whose son enjoys video games more than basketball. And they made LeBron act a lot in it. Like if you watch the first one, Michael Jordan, he has some lines and stuff, but he's not like acting and showing emotion and stuff like that. But I couldn't wait for it to end. And I'm a LeBron James apologist. I'm not one of these guys that bashes everything LeBron does, right?
Which one did your kid prefer?
Oh, the first one.
Oh, so that kind of throws a wrench in his LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan too, a little bit.
Yeah, potentially. So yeah, he's becoming a fan. We got a little hoop in the yard, and so we'll push him towards baseball in the summer, hoops in the fall and winter. Okay, John, I think we're going to leave it at that. I don't know if we're going to be talking about a game when we're back on here on Wednesday, hopefully, but we will be back Wednesday either to talk about an NBA game that's talking that night, taking place that night, or maybe the next night, or maybe we'll be doing a betting preview of the NBA finals. And of course, we're going to have some baseball for you. We're going to have some golf for you on Wednesday too. We introduced Neil Parker on the show last Wednesday, who comes on, what a debut, goes 3-0. So he's excited to join us again. We might get into some WNBA at some point over the summer. We're going to have some great Olympic basketball. Can't wait to do that. Then probably by the time August gets here, we'll get deep into NFL futures as we count down to the start of NFL and college football season. So still a lot to do here, even though the NBA games are starting to dwindle down here a little bit. John, let the people know what you got going on the rest of the week, though, here at Covers.
Well, first off, shout out to Neil Parker because he kind of burned himself by coming on this show because we have a golf pool here at Covers, and I end up using Keegan Bradley because of his breakdown on Keegan Bradley, and he got T2, so I got a bunch of money in the pool, and me and Neil both used him. So he kind of burned himself there because I was able to steal the money that he also would have won in the pool, so that's kind of funny. But lastly, if you want to see NBA content, we're throwing up articles today. I think they're already posted on the covers.com website. You see the kind of a breakdown of the props I already gave out. You can follow me on X at John Mettler. And then also we have our NBA release show. That will be Tuesday and maybe Thursday, 10:30 a.m. So tomorrow we'll have the Western Conference game 4 at Tuesday, 10:30 a.m. You can watch me and Adam Scherer. We release some picks and Adam's up units on the year. So make sure you check that out.
There we go. Shout out to our guy, Nairobi Pittman, in the chat saying, I always like to share the show on Twitter. Nairobi Pittman, a longtime follower of mine. We appreciate your viewership. We appreciate everyone tuning into the show today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, especially if you're tailing the ones we gave out on the program here today. We will catch you guys again on Wednesday. We'll see you then. Best of luck. Enjoy the basketball tonight.